Hello, everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. It is my privilege to be with you again. It's quite conceivable that we would flounder about in the creational simulators indefinitely, were it not for the universal guides. These great emissaries of the true reality that have the singular objective, that of assisting all individuals who will pay attention, that they too can stand in the real universes of the All Is. Sometimes, from the perspective of the personal self, such an undertaking would seem an impossibility, and indeed, it is an arduous and mighty journey, littered with obstacles and creational distractions. But the guides are a testament to the possibility, for they too would once have roamed the physical rock worlds, and would have had to endure the same process, that of getting through the personal self, and ultimately recognizing the real beings of light they and everybody is already. Everything equals itself. This is a fundamental principle of life. What one receives is in equal measure to what one gives, and the nature, the particulars of what we do is reflected back at us in the experiences and positions in life we find ourselves in. In creation, this is very apparent and demonstrable, and for those who pay attention and are conscious of their five vehicles and their mechanics, will clearly see cause and effect in operation in their moment-by-moment lives. The cause and effect principle is also referred to as karma, so really we can see that karma is not some punishment bestowed upon us by beings external to our experience, or some deity in the clouds passing judgments. Everything in creation is what we term a created idea. It is the ideas that become realities, for if we create something, it only follows that we would have the actuality of it in our experience. What people do not realize is how the design of the five body vehicles is such that everything generated from them will result in an experience. The thoughts and emotions are the ink by which our stories are written. And as we continue writing our story We are resigned to reading them, to always be the effects of ourselves. And we have plenty of lifetimes worth of stories that are very similar in their theme, like a particular brand of story, like westerns or horror movies. The main themes of our ongoing stories we carry around with us always, for we become emotionally attached to particular ideas with the added stimulation from our subconscious to make them especially potent and constant from lifetime to lifetime. It is like we have torn out the parts of the old books we liked the best, or those we are in constant agreement with, and carry these tired old pages in our coat pockets, out of sight, but certainly not out of mind, out of causal Akashic mind, that is. The obvious thing would be to discard these old pages, but you can't realistically erase your Akashic records, although nothing is impossible, and indeed, these lifetime records can and do get tampered and interfered with. Better then to remove the pages from our coat pockets, become conscious of them, acknowledge their effect on us, and place them on a shelf for reference material should we require them. And where did all these pages and books that continue to affect our experiences come from? All stemmed from a created idea that we agreed to, that we latched onto, that we became emotionally attached with, and incorporated into our created personal self-consciousness. People may well proclaim that the idea they agree with is an actuality and therefore merits their agreement, but this can surely be so of any idea. Every idea is a creation, and agreed with will generate an effect that is in keeping with the particulars of this idea, in accordance with the cause and effect principle of creation. We could decide anything, and given enough focus, it must be so. If we get agreement from others, and agreement on a vast scale, it becomes so for everybody who agrees with it. It becomes the overall reality. We could invent the cult of the biscuit god, and how, grovelling to a gigantic cookie, will produce good crops. If enough people decide this is so, the crops may well be plentiful, and so the cookie worship would seem a great idea, and a sensible thing to promote. What has actually happened is people have simply decided and agreed that the crops will be bountiful, and the effect must surely follow. They have simply decided that the worship of a biscuit must be so for this to occur. Take the biscuit out of the equation, and the crops may well fail, because they will all now decide that the crops must be bad in light of the biscuit's absence, where all along it was just what they decided, what they chose, what they collectively focused on that made it so. And all of that was just a heap of various ideas that seemed to warrant agreement. But agreement and emotional attachment and incorporation into the created consciousness, and it's another page carried around with the self that will always then generate or add to the overall and continuous unconscious experience of lifetimes. So karma, then, is simply cause and effect. The causes are that which we decide, and thus we make our own karma, and it follows that we can, at any time we choose, step beyond the necessity of having to be shackled by our karmic debts. Of course, with the subconscious parts of the self that are on automatic pilot, the concealed, beyond conscious sight, pages of the themes of our movie we cling to, we can never be free of karma unless we reveal these old attachments and ensure their release. Another gift of the guides, as they will assist the individual with the removal of these old agreements, assuming we agree their release. These binding, effect-generating old attachments and agreements, what we may call tap lines, can only restrict us if we insist on them remaining. As we go through our process of becoming more aware, some tap lines are harder to let go of than others, especially ones of an emotional nature, particularly where attachment to other individuals are concerned. During the day, we will load up with all manner of dross, and we may well endeavour to remain objective, to remain in a state of being isness, which is our real awareness connection, while standing in creation. But it's like walking through a muddy field and hoping none of the mud will adhere to our boots. for we are constantly being bombarded by subliminals, also slipping in through the cracks beyond the threshold of our ability to consciously vet that which infiltrates our personal vehicles. This, of course, would be more the issue if we were only aware of and fully locked into our created selves, as it would be very much like being the computer game character and having the computer game technicians constantly making alterations to the design and makeup of the character that we play. If we have the analogy of the computer character being the personal self and the real you, that which is playing the game, we can see that yes, our character may still be bombarded by all of the stuff the controllers throw at it, but it can have no bearing on the actual player, the experiencer, the real you. This would be so in creation, as we walk through our muddy fields, the clinging mud representing the subliminal bombardments. But with our connection to the real self, these things can only affect the personal created self and have nothing to do with our real awareness. Were we to just be unconsciously going through our experiences in the simulations, all these subliminals and idea creations would load up, compound, and add to our created consciousness. The body vehicle is just a storehouse of idea information after all, and it will gather and collate everything it is subjected to. Even if we are not conscious of all the information ideas that are stacking up in the filing cabinets of our mental vehicles. Another reason why, without the real guides and the opportunity they provide, we would very much be entrenched in creation and at the mercy of the cause and effect generator of constant experience that are the five body vehicles. For we may well become conscious of this process and seek to glean control of our idea, thoughts and emotions, but the subconscious flow of ideas will be beyond our ability to regulate. And like any idea creation, if it embeds in the mental vehicle, and especially if we are unconscious of its specifics, there it can sit for incalculable lifetimes and constantly set the stage and dynamics of our lifetime experiences. naturally, a subliminal idea will be courtesy of the controllers and will be of a design that will reinforce, maintain, and add to the other indoctrinated and programmed idea agreements that keep us in the prison yard. And so we carry much dross with us by the time each day is complete. However, our real self-connection has us removed from it to the extent that we are able, in that most of the mud will fall away, for it comes to a point where it's more about how we deal with our situations more so. It's how we see them. Far more conscious of what's going on, we can simply walk through the experiences we find ourselves in without incorporating any of it into our personal selves, without adding to our created consciousness. And for that which has slipped through, when we sing our new you song and slip from the physical for our nightly real side excursions, what we have accumulated in the day will be wiped clean. The real guides will take care of the idea taplines we have gathered, particularly those that have bombarded the created self subconsciously. Although it's not a case that we can do whatever we want and assume the guides will clean up the mess, we must demonstrate our sincerity to get with the process of is recognition. We must prove ourselves that the guides see the merit in offering their tapline clearing assistance. And even with sincerity of real intent recognised, we can cling onto a few taplines for whatever reason we may have. Some are harder to release than others, and perhaps some we may hold on to till the very end. The guides will not remove anything we decide to keep, for as the deciders of our experience as free will beings, they cannot violate this free will, as it is a cosmic law, and should they do so, which they could very readily, then they would get themselves into trouble. As they operate from positions of real awareness, everything the guides do is from a place of purity and integrity, like the ears, they just are, and shine upon all with no agenda or attitude, much like the sun, as it shines upon all and asks nothing in return. The new you song also is very instrumental, as it is the pure light sound connection to the real universes, and as such, it carries the essence of the true reality in its vibration. As we sing it, the new you song will be a further demonstration of our acceptance of the real guides and their assistance, for they must be invited into our experience. Singing the new you song before bed will connect us very strongly with the true reality, that our real side will be more so productive for our ongoing process, as opposed to perhaps just personal self-experiences. The new you will fragment old patterns of behaviour and routines. It will disintegrate old tapline agreements. It will wash through the created self like a wave of pure light and cleanse the vehicles of all that would have ensured we must remain the effect of. Again, we must do our part. We must decide, accept, acknowledge, and release these tapline agreements as they become known to us. Very often, we will have real side experiences where the tapline being removed will produce the very experience where it was formed, the lifetime or situation where the agreement or attachment was decided upon, in other words, and these could be from thousands of lifetimes ago. A little like therapy, where the psychiatrist may release subconscious trauma, and in doing so, the memory of the forgotten events, how they are censored to protect the conscious self, will return to the individual. And it is so that fragmenting these old and possibly thousands of lifetimes ago taplines can produce flashbacks and causal Akashic memory reruns of the experiences at that time. I always know when the experiences are such flashbacks to previous lifetimes, because they will always seem very familiar, even though I have not had the experience in this current lifetime. And of course they will seem familiar, as they are simply experiences filed in our Akashic records, although some will be very hard to grasp on waking, but make perfect sense on the real side. The real self is orchestrating events always, and knows exactly what to do. Nothing would seem strange from its perspective or view, as it oversees creation and all the lifetimes of its created personal self ever lived. It is only the limited personal self-awareness that may have concerns, misunderstandings, and be puzzled as to what's going on, as it can only draw upon the references and experiences it has had in our current lifetime. Imagine then a tapline agreement formed in an alien civilization that is so different from our current one that we have no point of reference by which we can understand it. And then we may have a rerun or a flashback to this very alien lifetime as the tapline is chosen for its removal. For the real self, nothing about this alien world would seem strange, and depending on the extent by which we stand in our real awareness will dictate to what degree the alien experience makes sense on the real side. The personal self is always along for the experience, but it is the real you having the experiences. And where we decide to be in our awareness, the personal or the real self, dictates to what degree we can understand or even perceive the experience. If we are locked into the personal self, all these experiences can be going on, but we are limiting our view to only that of the personal self. If we are very much physical astral, we can't see beyond the filters of these aspects of the personal self. Our experience is always the extension of what we decide, what we focus on, and what we decide to limit ourselves to. Everything is going on simultaneously in every new moment, because everything is an isness. As the experiencer, we are simply deciding what we choose to see, according to how we have constructed the personal self. With awareness comes the knowledge of greater aspects of the personal self, and more expansive experiences throughout all of creation, as opposed to just experiencing the most dense parts of our creation. We are always the experience of ourselves, and it's as limited as we choose it to be. It's not, then, that we are suddenly having experiences throughout creation on the real side. We always were. It's just now we are aware of the potentiality of them and are moving our awareness beyond just the physical, astral parts of ourselves. The personal self requires the experiences for its awareness, that we can get more views and comparisons to recognise the is by. But unless we have these experiences, unless we are able to perceive experiences that are always going on, we are not going to be making headway in our process of becoming more aware. When it comes to past lifetimes, regardless of how strange they may be to the current lifetime mental body, it will, of course, not only make sense to the real you, but will naturally have made sense to the personal self that had that lifetime at the time it was having it. If the past life flashback is very strong, we can be completely immersed in it during the tapline removal, as though we are displaced temporarily and positioned back in what may be a world completely alien to us from our current personal perspective. So it's very conceivable that both the real you and the personal view can have no problems whatsoever in grasping what's going on during the real side experience. Only when waking are we returned to the personal awareness and a mental vehicle that only has the references of experiences had in our current lifetime to draw upon, and will ponder how the experience seemed to make perfect sense at the time of having it, but now it's just a mess of vague imagery and nonsensical occurrences. It does fall on us to learn to recognise the is, and this same recognition is required to read the real side experiences, for always there is what the personal self can literally see, which is the surface part of the dream. And then there is what the personal self can't perceive, an underlying aspect that is behind the surface. And it is that subtle underlayer that must be recognised to fully grasp what is being demonstrated in the experience. When it comes to these tapline removing and lifetime reruns, I would say we need not concern ourselves with their understanding so much, as these experiences were simply generated as we had the agreement or attachment severed. The purpose then was not so much that the experience was to be recognised for our becoming more aware benefit, but more so it was a taplining, removing session. Although on waking, as the personal self scratches its limited head over the strange alien dream that seemed so familiar, if we do step into the being-isness state which is our real awareness, we can reconnect with the real self's view of the experience. And although we still may not necessarily decipher it, we can still experience our familiarity with the experience. As our process continues, we ought find that we are better able to understand such alien worlds, even as they sit beyond the references available in our current mental mind vehicle. For we are forever more so becoming more aware and recognizing our real self and the is. It stands to reason then that we would start to be able to shift our awareness far more readily throughout the created parts of ourselves and alternate from the real awareness to the personal awareness, affording a comparison between the two states of awareness in any experience situation, and as we become better able to read this true reality, we can bring information back to the personal self with better recognition, and consequently will be more able to dip into our Akashic past life files and, utilizing our real awareness, be able to understand their contents, regardless of which part of the creational simulator they stemmed from. Ultimately, we will be able to view the more complete and endless universal files of the All Is, and if able to recognize and bring that back to the personal self, we will have a vast overview of everything that makes up the created consciousness and all the lifetimes that make up its construction. Although we ought not become too overly concerned with past lifetimes, yes, they can be interesting, but they represent nothing more than reference material. All lifetimes are just creations of the simulator. They have nothing to do with the whole of life, and a focus then on what are created ideas can have our focus diverted from our real intent, that being the recognition of the is. It's all about focus and intent. Where we place these will determine where we position ourselves. If we place our focus on ideas in creation, regardless of the idea, as everything in creation is a created idea, then we are chasing and agreeing to these ideas. We are deciding effectively to remain in the simulators, and it's very easy to slip back into the personal self and pursue these ideas, that we become the effects of them, and ensure future unconscious lifetimes accordingly. We have become conscious of the cause and effect nature of the simulators and all the references and knowledge now, but as we recycle back and have a new mind, a new mental body, it is like a brand new file containing no data. Yes, we have the references in our Akashic causal vehicles. We may have all this accumulated knowledge of the ears and creation if we made a study of it in the previous lifetime. But now it is not readily available and to hand. And the past lifetime ideas that we chased, that brought us into this new lifetime, has us in a position where we are unconscious of everything again, and should we be afforded the opportunity to become more aware, we would have to gather all the literal information once again. For the process of awareness must begin with the literal information, the understanding for the personal mind is the first step. Then it moves more into the recognition of the true reality and the realization that all the references pertaining to it are just that. They are just created ideas to present something that really defies explanation. People can become stuck on the literal references, but these are no different to any other idea in creation. But at least they reference and hint to the real universes, and are not just good-sounding, emotionally stimulating, creation-based references, but nevertheless, the references can never be the reality of that which they are designed to reference. So as we go through our process, we must be cautious that we don't latch onto these created ideas as they manifest. The focus should always be on the all is, and the moment we agree with an idea in creation, we attach emotionally to it, it will suck us down, and we fall back, absorbed into creation again. The guides will always seek to demonstrate on the real side the various aspects of the personal self that represent taplining hindrances, the mental considerations, assumptions, attitudes, and the emotional components and attachments are all that which the created consciousness is constructed from. The personal self cannot see past its own construction. and the attitudes and considerations it cushions itself in will block out its ability to glean insight from the real awareness. As the personal self considers just itself, it blocks off this conduit of true reality guidance that can only be accessed from creation if we stand in connection with it, and that is the being-isness state, being in the new nowness, which is the all-is in creation. Recognition will also be required as we stand in this new nowness, and the extent to which we can recognize this true reality dictates what we can read from it, draw our insights, and know exactly what to do that makes sense according to the whole of life in every new moment. The block that the personal self represents as we continually wallow in its construction, the thoughts and emotions we continually entertain, will extend to the real side also. Everything is an isness, and what we are aware of now and are experiencing is according to what we decide in each new moment. If we choose to be in this being-isness connection to the is state, or sit in the personal self. And so we may very well block the real side demonstrations from featuring in our experience. They are still occurring, but it would be as though we were sitting in a different room to the room where the television is presenting its movie. The guides may well set up a scene or place us in an experience where the nature of the tapline is very apparent, or as apparent as our recognition can allow. The guides will not release this tapline unless we agree that it is so. Again, we are the decider and have the free will to cling on to what restrictions we wish. There was an experience recounted by individuals who had been with the Ekankar Corporation when it was taken over by reptilian Joni. Even though the individual had left the corporation, they still had emotional attachments to Joni and Harry. Nothing can feature in our experience unless we agree. No one can have power over us or tapline us unless we agree to such individuals having power over us. All taplines are subject to agreement, and if we are taplined by individuals, it is because on some level of our personal selves there is agreement, and only with agreement can we be taplined. In this case, the guides raided the individual's house on the real side. The house always demonstrating the personal self. Upstairs the guides went, dressed like military stormtroopers, and into the attic they did go, pulling open a closet door to reveal Harry and Joni lurking inside. The attic is always the unconscious part of the individual, and we would expect to find all kinds of individuals and creatures lurking here. Were we to enter such an area and shine a light of awareness about its confines, we would undoubtedly find all the individuals, creatures and beings that we have unconscious attachments to. The fact they are in our house represents how they are very much a part of our created personal selves. The personal self created from agreements, ideas, and attachment taplines. On this occasion, the real guides exposed the lurking tapline inserters. Evidently, the individual still had an emotional attachment agreement with Harry and Joni. The guides would then turn to the individual, as it is now their decision to keep the attachment tapline or remove it. The guides would throw these attic unconscious lurking reptilians from the house, but only if the individual wished it so. Often there will be attacks on the real side by the dark forces, as they will always seek to discourage anyone attempting to escape the Callum reptilian gods' matrix of control. The dark forces take advantage of opportunities that are made available as people open themselves up to such. As they go about their process of awareness, for on the journey of is recognition, they will be bothering and agitating practically everyone in creation, as most do not want to see beyond what they have limited themselves to, and become very defensive and aggressive toward those that are revealing this true reality. So there will be much by way of aggression, animosity, and pestering throughout all levels of creation. A continual bombardment that anyone on the process of becoming more aware must endure. The guides are always on hand to assist and protect the sincere new friend, but sometimes they will give them a little space that the individual has the chance to test their own capabilities. and learn better how to deal with abrasive situations and antagonistic individuals. For how would an individual learn to defend themselves on the real side if the guides were always to step in automatically? Part of the process is learning self-sufficiency and independence from everything, after all. Very often, there is agreement that allows an attack to take place, very often subconscious, but sometimes inadvertently, an individual can consciously be agreeing with a certain thing that facilitates an attack. An example would be if an individual was very much an avid fan of vampire films, and perhaps take on the consideration that vampires would be a more powerful a being than a human. With a little emotional, subconscious addition to this consideration, such an individual may even make a subtle, beneath the threshold of the consciousness decision to want to meet such a vampire. A decision then is made, an agreement to the particulars established, and perhaps then the individual would be attacked by such a creature on the real side, agreeing to not only the presence of the vampire, but that said vampire would be more powerful than they, and thus they would be at its mercy. Becoming more aware affords one greater abilities to handle situations and creatures of ill intent, to the extent that most individuals of a malign nature pose very little problem. All such personal self-individuals, demonstrating they are such by their malign activities, would be bound by cause and effect and agreement, and can only operate within those parameters. In other words, if such a creature wishes to successfully attack another, the agreements must be just right that this will be so. Agreement to the encounter. Agreement that the creature is superior, or perhaps the successful installing of the belief that the creature is mightier by displaying in such a way that the victim-to-be individual will decide this. Once on the real side, I saw a mighty beast besting lesser creatures, and this would be likely due to the size disparity, but again, more so that agreement was such that the creature would be victorious. Size, teeth and scariness have very little to do with it on the real side, as demonstrated when a real guide walked up to the mighty beast and punched it rather weakly on the nose, and yet it collapsed in a heap. For with individuals like the real guides, who stand in the isness and in their real awareness, they are beyond creation, beyond cause and effect agreements and limitations. They will not violate free will, and what people decide, as in the removing of tap lines, but they and all individuals have a right to defend themselves and go about their adventures and process of becoming more aware. As such, no creature, regardless of size or apparent menace, can best someone standing in their real awareness. The real you always knows just how to handle any situation and will take whatever measures are required in the face of adversity and attack. The real you would not need to agree or decide on the particulars. It simply is, and as such is not bound by the consideration of the obstacle in its path. It will not be concerned over a creature 10 times its size. After all, as an individual becomes more aware and has increasing capability, what would apparent size mean anyway? And awareness often demonstrates as size on the real side also. As Dwayne has been witnessed by many as being thousands of feet tall, and the true silent ones are immense shafts of light. So if a creature is mighty in its stature, and it is required that an individual be of a similar size or bigger to deal with it, then with awareness would come this ability also. But anyway, as agreements can allow and facilitate such attacks, the guides will sometimes allow the experience to unfold, even if the new friend suffers at the hands of a creature on the real side, almost as a demonstration of how individuals need take more responsibility for their focus, ideas, and agreements, and not just churn out any monster attack generating idea experience and expect the guides to save the day. I have had numerous encounters of this type, monster attacks, entities, and reptilians. As my awareness has increased, so I have become more adept at dealing with such encounters where initially I would receive quite the beating and abuse. Sometimes the guides would assist, sometimes they would not. They always know what is best for the individual at any moment, and it can be truly said that they know you better than you know yourself. For much of the personal created self is hidden from us in the subconscious and Akashic record causal parts of ourselves, all that makes the personal self what it is. From the real self view that the guides operate from, they can see all of creation and all the individuals within it. And as they work with people and assist them, they can see everything that makes up that individual's created consciousness. They will know what to remove, tapline-wise, what experiences to present, and in what order, when to intercede and when to step back. The real guides provide a perfectly catered step-by-step training and a process uniquely designed for each individual, as we all are different and have constructed our created personal selves as we have. And that brings me to the end of the radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. I will finish with the New You song. New You.